In the introit of today's Mass, we sing from the psalm, "The Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear?" In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Sometimes the Gregorian introit is especially beautiful, as is the case on this Sunday, within the octave of the Ascension. "Vultum tuum, Domine, requiram," I will seek thy face, the Schola sings, O Lord. And then in the psalm, we feel fearless. Whom shall I fear? But then when we work our way up to the epistle and the gospel, it may be another story. Look what the first pope lays out for us. We have to be prudent. We have to be watchful in prayers. We have to practice amongst ourselves a real charity. And in the gospel, we have to show our love for God by corresponding to that spirit of truth, Catholic doctrine revealed to us, not ours to give away or diminish in any sense. And if we are faithful to it, the only thing our Lord promises us is that we shall be put out of the synagogues, and that even there are those who think they're doing a service to God by killing us. Still, with great confidence, we sing, "Quem timebo." And of course we feel confident whenever we gaze upon her who is the help of Christians. With admiration, the Church cries out during the Easter season, "Rejoice, O Virgin Mary, thou alone hast crushed all heresies in all the earth." Devotion to our Blessed Mother is connected with the crushing of heresies and with the reestablishing of a moral tone. It is not a little pink packet of sweetener or a spoonful or two of sugar in the coffee of life for those who feel so inclined. It is the working of God's Spirit. There's a stirring going on, all right. It is the stirring of the waters of the chaos of this world. All of the confusion and all of the sin and all of the falsehood, because Mary is the bulwark of Christian faith and of Christian morals and of our perseverance, come what may. On this Sunday, for centuries, the Pope used to preach in the old Pantheon, that wonder of the classical world, with its huge dome, with a permanent opening at the very top, and engineers today still wonder how they did it way back then. That temple had long since been made over to Mary, Queen of Martyrs, and filled with relics. Our Lady chose the anniversary day of the dedication of this church, dedicated to her sorrows, for her first apparition at Fatima, the 13th of May. And every year, the Pope would go there, and he would preach about the coming Pentecost and the parted tongues and the Holy Ghost and his gifts. And as he did so, there'd be some people on the very roof, on the top of the dome, and they would drop down roses, bushels full of roses, and the whole pavement of the church before the altar strewn with roses. I've thought about that a little bit, of course. Who wouldn't? But I haven't quite figured out a way how we might be able to do it so far at St. Gertrude the Great. But it's nice to know that once it was done. Today we have to content ourselves, these days I mean, with crowning our Blessed Mother with roses on her head rather than casting them at her feet. But when you work with roses, you remember they've got thorns. And not by chance, it is the divine providence which has placed them there. God permits that there should be persecution, and that for our own perfection. The Feast of Mary, Help of Christians, marks the return of the Pope King, Pius VII, to Rome during the midst of the terrible revolutions that shook the world. After 5 years of captivity, by Napoleon, the Pope was set freed. Because he had excommunicated this sacrilegious Mason and revolutionary, the Pope was first of all imprisoned in his own palace in Rome. But they knew greater punishments were afoot. There was a priest from Genoa on the other side of the Italian peninsula near France, who was inspired by Our Lady to disguise himself as a servant and sneak into the pontifical palace. And he gave the Holy Father a holy card of the Madonna della Misericordia, Our Lady of Mercy, which is venerated in Savona. And he said, Holy Father, pray to her. She will deliver you. And the Pope was very pious. He was pious. He took it seriously. And he put this into his cassock pocket, this holy card. 2 days later, indeed, he was bundled during the night into a carriage and taken off to Savona. And there he was able to pray at Our Lady's shrine and beg Mary for mercy for all. And in due time, in 5 years, the Pope returned a free man to preside over at least a few more years of freedom for the eternal city of Rome. And the first thing he did before returning to Rome was to go to this shrine to thank the Blessed Mother and crown her image with a beautiful crown of gold. Do you think, might it be, that the papacy, kidnapped and held prisoner now for longer than the biblical 40 years, will be restored? It is a certainty. Christ will not come in glory until his vicar is again triumphing, until Mary's Immaculate Heart brings about this triumph, so that Jesus may reign as our King just before the end with Mary as his Queen. And he will reign through the person of his earthly vice-regent and representative. Help of Christians. The title was first put into the litany of Our Lady of Loreto by Saint Pius V to mark the Church's gratitude for the victory of the cross over the crescent, the great rosary victory at Lepanto. The Islamic influenza is a plague few people really speak about, as it wouldn't be politically correct, but it is something to fear because it attacks not bodies, but immortal souls. And I'm wondering if all of you have been vaccinated, inoculated with Mary's medicine. That is to say, are you wearing the brown scapular today? And do you have and do you use the rosary every day? If you do, you will know the help of Mary. You will know the strength of this help of Christians. It's not just some figure from history, some historical event, which we honor today. 2 centuries ago, it occurred almost. Why, 2 seconds ago, Mary was helping you. Because every grace we receive, even the little actual graces, all day and all night, why, they all come, they all pass through the hands of this loving mother. And with these same hands, she grabs heresy and falsehood, and she casts it down and crushes it. The modern ideologies and all of the modern theories, which are just old heresies in new dress, have some illegitimate birth, and they cry out for attention. They want, like a recalcitrant baby, they want all of everyone's attention. The truth of the matter is that there is not a single doctrine which has not been attacked over the course of the centuries. Nothing is new under the sun. Our Lord's divinity, the Blessed Trinity, Our Lady's virginity, her divine maternity, the Holy Mass, the papacy, and today, those who should be defending it are attacking the infallibility of the Catholic Church. And then there's even that curious sect which denies the charity of the Holy Ghost, the power to cancel out sin, even original sin, for those who do not have access to the element of water, baptism of desire. They talk a lot about evolution today, but the state of constant revolution in which we live today makes for a revolution in an evolution, rather in reverse. We're going down, down, down. And perhaps, as I tried to explain the other Sunday to you, perhaps it is that we are nearing the nadir of this horrible error. This or that doctrine is not being attacked. The whole thing is attacked. The idea that there is a truth that you could come to, the Spirit of truth guiding you, that's denied, absolutely. And millions are robbed of their faith and have no chance. And other millions think they're Catholics, but they're not, because they do not have the doctrine of the faith. But she has overcome all heresies. And isn't it wonderful to consider how Our Lady does it, how she helps Christians? What are the weapons that she uses? A little piece of light metal stamped with her image, a badge of green felt, again, with her image and her heart on it, and a short little prayer, an aspiration that can be breathed, Immaculate Heart of Mary, pray for us now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And that is all. Our Lady does not only defend the purity of Catholic doctrine, Our Lady also sets about repairing the damage done to morals, because corruption of family and personal life always follows any upset or revolution or any attack on Catholic truth. If you think of the old days, the good old days, you would be surprised to consider how bad they were. And every now and again, we receive some little reminder. Our Blessed Mother complained almost 100 years ago at how wicked this old world of ours was getting. And now it is not much better. We should never, however, be scandalized, either at our own weakness, the weakness of some fellow Catholic, or at all of the suffering which our Lord in his generosity has prepared for some souls. Mary is there to help us. By a devotion to Our Lady, you not only are kept on the right path of faith, but morals improve. Do the experiment. 1 week of Lent that is left. You who don't start, say the rosary. Recite the litany of Our Blessed Mother. Do it as devoutly as you can and see if that doesn't improve your behavior these days. And if it does, expect persecution. The devil doesn't like that, not at all. Someone's going to think he's doing a service to God by trying to get rid of you. Heresies arose after paganism was destroyed by the Catholic Church. But after some 10 persecutions over a period of 3 centuries, right away, heresies came, and with it, the spirit of paganism returned. So it is today. You could almost say that it seems a fifth mark of the Catholic Church, historically considered, that she should be small and that she should be persecuted. But we should not be scandalized. I've told you these things so that when they happen, you will remember that I told you. Today, paganism comes to destroy what is left of Christianity, and we as Christians say no in the matter of morals. We're sorry. We're not even sorry. We're happy to say no. We're happy to say no to the false concepts of marriage, to the false concepts of birth prevention, which are often simply murder in disguise, and to all of the modern errors. And we don't apologize, not for a single one of them. And if we get our fair share of hatred, thanks be to God. We're not really worthy of it, but we will do our best under these circumstances. We don't need to worry, because Our Lady offers us her twofold protection. That is to say, We not only have to keep the Catholic faith and in such a way as to be worthy to be hated, thrown out of the synagogue, or persecuted. If you're a compromiser, they're not going to look at you, that's for sure. You'll get along just fine in this world. The next, you're on your own. But in this world, you're good. Remember that. But the difficulty is this, that you are also obliged to show that constant mutual charity amongst ourselves as Christians, which comes so hard to so many good souls, maybe because they are hard. I mean, they're hard-headed. You can't get any heresy in there. Sometimes the hard head influences a hard heart, and there's not a lot of charity or forgiveness there. If that's the case, I propose to you the pontiff of the day, Pius VII, who had such a strong devotion to Our Lady. He was not a pope without his faults. He tended in his politics to have a sort of a naive trust, many of the Piuses of modern times did, in the powers of this world. But when it came to his own life of piety, and when it came to his own life of humility, what an example he gives. He never grew angry. He never lost his temper. He never was bitter or complaining. All of the indignities which he personally had to suffer. And as soon as he could, he forgave all of his enemies. And he went so far as to pay out of his own pocket, after Napoleon was deposed and sent into exile, for the family members, the mother and the uncle, especially of Napoleon, to be able to live in a palace in Rome. That was the spirit of forgiveness that this truly Christian pope had. When it comes to the purity of the faith, when it comes to the practice of charity, you may feel helpless, which one of us wouldn't? But if you turn to her, you are not. Mary, help of Christians, pray for us. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.